Did that bless your heart? It blessed my heart. I love it. That was precious. Really, really beautiful to the Lord and to me, and I'm sure to all of us. Wonderful. Well, today we're going to close out. We're going to land the plane with the final installment, the sixth and final installment of the Amazing Grace series, Inviting Grace. And we're going to have today our youth and kids director, Mr. Michael Erazo. He's going to come and bring the Word of God. Precious man of God, got saved about 11 years ago, rescued the family, got saved in this church. Now they're full-time leading our kids and children's ministries. Just a magnificent story of grace alone. It's a precious thing. So let's run that video, guys, that introduction video, and then we'll welcome Mikey onto stage.
Well, I'm organizing myself. Can I just, my OCDC is kicking in because of the empty seats in the front row. Can you just kind of like, if I ask you to just come forward, please? I'm weird that way, so sorry. Cool. All right. Let me just organize myself here. All right. Awesome. Great stuff. Now, I'm going to turn this on because I know the youth, they go, man, sometimes, you know, Uncle Mike, you can sometimes go on and on and on. So I'm going to time myself. Great. All right, welcome. Glad to be up here. It's been like a couple years since I've been here with, you know, just sharing a message for you guys, and I missed it. But, you know, it's been great stuff. Like Pastor Richard said, we're closing. I've got the privilege, the honor, and the pleasure of closing out the series on Amazing Grace. You know, we talked about abundant grace. We talked about justifying grace. We talked about sanctifying. We talked about what else? What else have we talked about? There's five, six. Enriching. What else? One more. Sufficient grace. So I guess I'm a bit biased, not because I'm teaching this last, but I think it's probably and arguably the most incredible facet of this word called grace. And so how has everyone enjoyed the series so far? Only me? Everybody? Awesome. I see you, bro. Awesome. So here we go. As we go through, before I start sharing the word, let me just ask you if I could lay two things before you. Everybody say two. Look to your neighbor and say two. I want to lay two things before you. As we get into the word, as you hear this message, I want you guys to think about filtering the message through a young person's life. Maybe a child, maybe a teenager. I want you guys to really just cast your mind back when you were younger and filter this message through that. That's number one. Number two, I want you guys to think about your life. Think about this one life that we have, that one life to live, and then we'll go into it, okay? So let me ask you guys to stand up in the proclamation of the word as we read the scripture. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divisions of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. and no creature is hidden from his sight. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Give an account. Here's my favorite bit. Since then, we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. This is the word of God. Lord God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that in and through your grace, there is hope, there is mercy, there is help, Lord God. And so, Lord God, I pray that as your word says, Lord God, that it will go forth from the pages of your book, pierce through our hearts, mind, and soul, Lord God, that it will not return to you void, Father. Lord, that you will do a mighty work in our hearts and in our minds, Lord God. Father, that it will accomplish everything that you have sent it for, Lord God, for your purposes. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, everybody can sit down. Now, I don't know what you're like when you came in this morning, but, man, I'm tired. Really tired. Who else is tired? Right? Like just rushing about things, you know, getting into here, even preparing for the sermon, man. It gets so tiring, and it gets just takes a lot of work and effort, right? I don't know where you are. Maybe as a parent, you know, preparing your kids. I know it's hard, man. We got four. Preparing the household to get in here. Maybe that, you know, you're just coming off from a bad week, maybe. But it's so tiring, right? I remember maybe about a week, a month ago, maybe a little over a month ago, I remember just serving in kids' church. And there's like, we've been serving for like consecutively every week. I'm so tired. My wife and I are so tired. We just wanted to go home after that service. I just want to go home and just kind of like sleep. Everybody likes sleep? I love sleep, man. Sometimes I love it too much. Right? But I love sleep. I'm telling you, and that Sunday, I just want to go home. Tired. Restless. I just want to eat and sleep. Lord, forgive me for that. Right? But then, you know, that Sunday, this amazing story, and I honor Winnie and Dino for this. That Sunday after church service, man, we got shoulder tapped. Like, you know, as you can see, face is a little bit downcast because we're tired. And I remember Winnie just approaching me, like with big smiles, like with very eager. And he goes, "Bro, what are you guys doing?" I said, "Go home," right? But he goes, no. "I tell you what, we're inviting you upstairs." So we were inviting you upstairs. They go, "Well, what's happening upstairs?" So they go, "Well, just come. It's a party. Party." Right? So I go, "Man, I'm tired. I don't want to go up there. It's so hot and muggy that day." And if you've been around here in the building, like going up those stairs on a hot, muggy day, it's like a sauna. So I'm tired. I don't want to go up there. My legs are shot. I just want to go home, right? But then I said, okay, we'll do. And then go, "But we're not a part of the GSM team." I go, no, "It's okay. It's invite. Come on. Share with us. Be, party with us." And so I told my wife, and I go, "Man, did you get an invite?" And my wife goes, "Yeah, man. I got an invite. Did you get an invite?" I said, "It'd probably be weird if you got an invite and I didn't, because we're like, you know what I mean?" And so we did. When we got up there, right, it just, something in me shifted. Something in me just kind of like got switched off. Because the environment that I was in was so welcoming, was so warm, was so loving. It was so fun. Plus, on top of that, I got so much awesome, awesome food. My gosh. Like, oh my gosh. And I was trying to cut down as well. So, if I put baby Charlie, won't go bigger. But it was so good. We got fed, got into great, great fellowship. I got to hear the heart of the people serving in that ministry, and it blessed me. I'm sure it blessed a lot of people on there as well. And so sometimes, you know, we're like that. And as Christians, I want you to catch this. As Christians, God invites you and I, by His amazing grace, to do life with Him. But with all relationships, key important relationships, it takes effort. It takes you and I going up those stairs in a hot, muggy day to have a relationship with God. It takes effort on our part. Now, before we really get into this, let's two things, because, you know, inviting grace, you know, we got to delve into how it transforms our devotional life. Now, number one, let's talk about this word grace. Grace is an unmerited favor from God. It is, right? But I would suggest to you, slide please. It's an unmerited favor for God, but I would suggest to you it's also divine power. It would also be a divine help. I want you to catch this. And grace is the manifestation of God's blessing in our lives. So it's unmerited favor, divine power, divine help, manifestation of God's blessing in our life. Now, what then is a devotional life? If we have grace and it changes a devotional life, what is a devotional life? And I'll tell you what it is. Devotional life is doing, say, everybody say doing, doing life with God. It's a daily heart-to-heart connection with God. It's an intimate relationship with Him on a daily basis. It's a second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week. You tracking me? Month by month, year in and year out. That is devotional life. You walk life with God. You do relationship with Him. Okay? And so, I'm reminded about a character in the Bible where it really shows that effort to make that devotional life. Now, if you take a look at the life of Big Mo, Moses, if we take a look at the life of Moses and the time that he spent with God, it's easy to overlook something very, turn to your neighbor and say, very, very significant. It's almost like not significant, but also very important. It's in Exodus chapter 19. It's not there, but I'll read it for you, verse 2 and 3. And here's what it says. They, being the Israelites, they sent out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai. On Sinai. And they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain. Here's the thought they want you guys to capture. While Moses went up to God. Went up to God. That's a mountain. Right? I want you guys to catch this. This is a person. That's a mountain. Whole lot of climbing. Went up to God. Right? The Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel." Now, Moses had to climb up that mountain, man. You know, I mean, back in those days, he probably don't have a GPS or a smartphone. And he go, man, I'm going to go GPS. Where is the top of Mount Sinai? Where is the burning bush? Right? He probably won't have that. And Here's the thing. He probably hasn't got any nice kicks with him. No Nike Air to kind of like support, you know. He probably just had, he only had sandals, right? I think his GPS that is only available to him was his staff, like walking stick. But it took a lot of effort. And what we know from the Bible is that he did this up and down the big mountain at least 7 times that we know of. Like, he had to traverse. It's, I don't think it's a straight climb. I think he has to go like sidewind and find his track to reach the mountain. And now, see, here's the thing. In some cases, having to go back and forth with little rest in between. This is what he did. It took a whole lot of energy. It took a whole lot of effort that was made. You see, you hear about the time when he had on the mountain, right? That's the only time he had. I mean, he did great time with God on the mountain. You know, God showed his face. His face was beaming with God's glory. We hear all of that stuff. 10 commandments was given to him. We hear all that stuff, the punchy, weighty ones. And then what happened when he got back to the mountain, right? But there's an eerily silence that we don't know of on the whole climbing bit. There's nothing in the Bible that says what was happening in his life, what was happening in that moment when he was climbing up the mountain. Nothing. Now, this reminds me of a story about maybe few years going back. Pastor June Iskosar and Pastor Michael Paderas was here visiting us. And we went to Mount Manganui. Everybody been there? Beautiful place, right? That mountain, that hill, beautiful place. View from the top, extraordinary. Now, I remember looking at that. I mean, I was a little bit heavier in my weight back then. No exercise. So I said, I know, man, when we go up there, it's going to take at least 45 minutes. And the terrain is not really polished. It's just crazy to go up there. I've been trying to think about what Moses was happening as well in his life. But, you know, we got there. There's a lot of stops for me. There's a lot of, you guys go on, I'll catch up with you guys. I'll catch up. Seriously, you guys go on, catch up. I'll catch up. Shortness of breath, you know, I was so unfit. But when we get to the top, it's incredible. It's all worth it. All that hard work, all that effort was awesome, right? Everyone wants a view from the top. Who wouldn't, right? Who likes a view from the top, right? Only Pastor Huyong and I? Okay. All right, but everyone wants a view on the top. And I don't know, maybe you guys have done something similar, not necessarily a mountaintop climb experience, but in your workplace, maybe. If you're working here, you got promoted to a job, you know, that's all in good. You post it in social media, selfie, click, click, right? Everybody would see that. Students here, high school, man, you know, I'm sure me as being a parent as well, would go, man, I would post and kill IG just to, you know, kind of like not show off the achievements of my kids, but, you know, just because of the sense of pride, right? Now, you know, you click it, post it. But no one really sees the hard work before that shot. No one. Right? No one. And so, while everyone can see your social media posts of achievements, nobody was seeing the hard work and effort that how you got there. The immense focusing and zoning yourself on what you need to do. No one sees it. God does. And sometimes this is how our daily life can feel with God. His grace has given us free invitation to access all of it to his presence. Free access to abundant grace, sanctifying grace, justifying grace, sufficient grace, enriching grace. He's given us full access to that. But it still requires intentional effort. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, intentional effort. Like as parents, you know, it takes intentional effort to discipline your children. Ooh, I said the discipline word. It does. As parents, it takes intentional effort to actually show them the ways of God. Reading scripture in your own devotional life, your own QT. They need to see it. Meditating on, here you go, your faith book first before your Facebook. Reading through tough passages in scripture that you don't understand, and you kind of like are asking God, you're wrestling with God, Lord, help me bring a revelation in my heart so that my life will be transformed with your goodness and grace. You know, praying in times when you're so stressed or busy in your workplace or in your studies. I mean, get this. How would you find rest when you're stressed? Almost like a rap song there. How do you find rest? I'm not going to go there. I'm not a good rapper. Right? And even this, it takes intentional effort to get to church and connect groups on time. It takes effort. It takes planning. It takes intentionality to actually honor God in time. Because if you honor God in time, you're honoring other people's time. I'm still working on it, really. I tend to go overtime. And so, there's this thing about work and effort. And there's a quote, just to put this in perspective and into context. A philosopher and an author, Professor Dallas Willard, he says this about to put grace and effort and work into context, he says this: grace is opposed to earning. Grace is opposed to earning, not the effort. For my Kiwi friends, God is saying, I'm opposed to you trying to get brownie points. I'm opposed to that. To my Filipino friends and family, it's like this. God is saying, I'm opposed to you trying to get poggy points. I'm opposed to that. But I'm not opposed to the effort. We don't have to do anything to earn our place in God's presence. In fact, He invites us. He wants to meet us where we are. But there will be an effort on our part to be in God's grace and rest and remain there. The good news of the gospel is not that we are invited one time to be near with God, but we have a standing open invite by His grace to confidently come before Him again and again and again and again. No expiry date, no end date. He just says, come. Okay? So of all the incredible facets, this is why I believe, of all the incredible facets of grace, how can we access it? It's through His inviting grace. I really think it's the most incredible aspect of it. All right, so as we dig into scripture, there's going to be three. In kids' church, we say power of truth, right? We say power of truth. Everybody go power truth. Go like this, power truth. These are truths that I want to bring forward to you guys and actually really help us understand scripture. Now, in Hebrews, right, a little bit of background. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of people, a group of Jewish Christians who in the time was being persecuted because Rome, the Empire of Rome, was invading them. So they were persecuting. There was a lot of strife. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of things that they were kind of like saying, man, when we were not Christians, this didn't really happen to us. Now that we are, why is this happening? Right? And in that time as well, civil war was about to break out. So this really put pressure in their faith. And they're saying, is it worth it following this guy Jesus? Is it worth it? So here it is. We're going to hit chapter Hebrews 4, chapter 12 and 13 first. It says here, and I love the New King James Version. It says, for the word of God is, read it with me, living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divisions of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intent of the heart. And no creature is hidden from the sight, from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, the power truth here is we cannot hide anything from God. No secret, where you might think that it's a secret, he knows it. Why? You see, when we read God's word, when we meditate on this book, you think you're reading the book. It's actually not. When we read the word of God, it actually is reading us. It cuts through the truth of who we are and what's going on in our lives. You see, that's why it's living. It's not dead words or prints in this page on a piece of paper, but it's living. It's active. Like Isaiah 55 says, you know, when God says his words are going to go out from his mouth, it's kind of like do a whole run around, do its work, and he says it's not going to return to me empty or void, because it's going to accomplish the very purpose that it sends it out. And so when you're feeling sometimes that you are going to yourself, I'm all on this alone in this life, there's no hope. It is written. Hit them up. That's the lies of the devil. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hit him. Written, the word of God. It's the word of God. That's why it's so, it's living, it's powerful. When the devil says to you, man, you're not loved. Look, not a lot of people are discounting you. Hit him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us. Hit him. Now, how can you hit him when you're not reading the word of God? How can you stand on the promises that you don't even know because you're not reading your word? Right? These, my mind was blown, really, when I first got saved and got to understand these words. Thank you, Izagani, for that. The word of God is also personified. I would suggest to you it's a personified in flesh, which is Jesus himself. That's why it's living. It's active. You can relate to the word. Right? It's got power. Scripture says power. Now in Greek, power is in Greek, it's dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's where the word, English word dynamite came from. When you light a dynamite, what happens? Boom, right? Boom. Everybody say boom. 3, 2, 1, go. 3, 2, 1.
Boom.
That's it. And when that happens, there's power. It changes the environment where it's exploded, right? The word of God is like that. It changes something inside of us because of the power. Now, that sword was one of the I would say to you guys, one of the lethal weapons in that time, in when Roman Empire was spreading, the most feared weapon. But God says, my word is sharper. It's not a blunt force, raw power instrument, but it's a surgical instrument, focused power that cuts through everything of all the nonsense, all the rebellion, all our folly, all of our excuses not to spend time with God, not to walk this life out with Him, not to glorify Him in the way we live, the way we talk, the way we think. God knows everything. He knows every thought, every intent. We can't try to muster up some courage to hide from Him. His words, He helps us discern our thoughts and intention of the heart. So where does this leave us? If we can't hide anything from them, where does that leave us? Next verse says this, Hebrews 4. It says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast of our confessions, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted without sin. The truth I want you to get out of this is that Jesus can empathize with us. He gets us. He gets our weaknesses, He gets our flaws, and He understands us. I'm going to read this one for you guys so that you really get the heart of this verse. He says, Hebrews 2, I'm going to pick it up from verse 16. For surely it is not angels He helps, right? But Abraham's descendants, that's us. Through Jesus Christ. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers. He's talking about us as a human being in every way, in order that he might become a merciful, say merciful, and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make an atonement for sins of the people, because he himself suffered. When he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Beautiful. He can help us because he's experienced it. This is incredible. You need to get the theology of this. He is fully man, fully human being, so that he would experience what we all might be going through or might go through in the future. He experienced every anguish, every pain, every challenge. But yes, he's also fully God. Do you know why he needed to be both? Because through the trials that he's going to be experiencing, he needed to show everybody that I actually know what I'm doing as a God. I know what I'm doing. So that in all these weaknesses, this anguish and pain, in your discouragement, I know how to overcome them through his grace. Fully God, fully man. You guys are fully known to God and yet intently loved by Him. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everybody. And so what does that mean for us if he's our high priest? Because see, high priest back in those days, there are the people that mediate things between God and His people. You can't go directly to God back in those days in Jewish culture, right? And I'd love to break this down for you, but back in those days, if you've got a sin, you can't actually go confess to God, Lord, God, forgive me, please. You need to bring your sin offering and your atonement for that to a high priest. And here's the thing. One high priest gets it, and then he gives it. He doesn't go straight to God. He goes to another priest that's on a higher level than him, and he gives that there. And then the high priest will actually go into the Holy of Holies and offer that. Pastor Wu Young touched about that a little bit, right? And so, Jesus, our high priest, does not only mediate between us and God, he also sacrificed himself for us on the cross so our sins could be forgiven and we could be right with God. This means that Jesus, being our high priest, who was fully man and fully God, we can actually approach him, extremely approachable and personal, and yet powerful and able to transform us. He is the only one where we can find perfection of truth, mercy, and grace. Now, these are our privileges. If you're here today and you're calling upon the name of God and say, I believe in you, I walk with you, you're my God. These are our privileges. These are privileges. Power truth 3. If Jesus can empathize with us, next slide, please. He invites you. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help him in time of need. The truth is, we can really confidently approach God. Those are our privileges. You want to access abundant grace? Do you want to access abundant grace? Do you want to be justified in front of God? Do you want to be sanctified? Sanctified is walking with God, growing to be more like Jesus. Do you want it? Do you want to have sufficient resource for you to walk that life out? And do you want to be enriched by that? How do you do that? You do that even by that power comes from God. It's called grace. He gives you the grace, inviting you. He's like saying to you, come on, you can do this. I can meet you where you are. You might feel condemned. You might feel worthless. You might feel that, I'm not. Because the fact is, we're all not deserving of God. But yet, he goes, I love you, man. Come on, Mike. He goes to me, come on, Mike. You can do this. There's nothing that you can do that can ever make me love you less. I love you. I've proven that on the cross. It's come on. He goes, come on. He's saying to you, come on. Whatever you're going through, doubts, fears, just uncertainty about your life here in this nation, God is saying to you, come on, enter my rest. I will give you grace. Grace, remember, it's more than unmerited favor. It's divine blessing. It's divine power. It's help from God himself. So as I close, can I invite Mayette, maybe Willie, to come up here? I'm praying really that God would stir something in your heart and soul this morning, that when you walk out that door, you will have out of all the 6 weeks of being journeying together about this word grace, if nothing at all, I pray to God that you will have this nugget of truth, that you are welcome. You're always invited. It's an open invite, y'all. It's an open invite. How does amazing grace transform our devotional life? How? Amazing grace transforms our entire approach and attitude towards God. No longer that we are driven by our religious obligations or duties, earning brownie points, earning poggy points. No longer. We need to do that. It's the same grace that empowers you to come to him. It's the same grace. We are invited to do all of life with Him. With Him. That no matter what comes our way, we are invited into His rest, into His presence, and remain there. Stay there. You are fully known to God. Fully known. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, you are fully known and intently loved. Crazy, insane, crazy love. With that, what do we do? You see, with any invites, I've just been to a wedding, my wife and I have just been to a wedding, one of our kids' church teachers. We got invited to a wedding by Brad and Sherlock. Months before their wedding, they gave us an envelope. We didn't know what it was. It was an invite, obviously, right? It was an invite. But it wasn't enough for us to just receive the invite. Open the invitation, and it goes, we cordially invite you. Cordially invite you to attend our wedding. Be a part of the wedding. And within in any invite, the same is true with God. He's inviting you. RSVP. Here's an RSVP. Come into my presence. Come into my rest. Come. Come. No end date. It's not a close invite, but He goes, come as you are. I will meet you. Come, just come. God's invitation for His amazing grace to transform your daily walk with Him. What would you do? What would you do with that invite? I want you to decide right now, right here, right now, no matter where you are with your walk with God, decide right now, please, my family, decide right now. Decide right here, right now. What doing life with God every day looks like for you, for your family, for your children, for your brothers, for your sisters, for your friends. Personally, what would that look like for you? If we are called to be His people, to change nations, what does it look like that when people look at us, they don't see Mike Erazo, they see Jesus, they see God's goodness, God's grace? Can I pray for you guys? If you'll all just close your eyes, head bowed down, I'll pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your goodness, for Your mercy. Lord God, I thank You for Your amazing, inviting grace. Lord God, thank You that You will move people's hearts today. Lord, that they will enjoy Your presence and that they would approach Your throne of grace where we can find mercy and help and grace. We thank You, Lord, that You're going to stir people's hearts right now, Lord God. We thank You for Your love. We thank You that Your invite has no end and it's always open.
Thank You, Jesus. Just while eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, I want to give an opportunity to people to respond. I think there are many in the room who would realize through the preaching of the word and through God's presence that We need a renewal. A renewal of desire to follow Him. A renewal of desire to put in the effort to seek God, to know God. If we're really honest, we need God to really move on our hearts so that we would love Him. I'm sure there are many here today that would want to renew, make that renewal, and while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, can I ask you in this moment of humility and gentleness, if that's you, I'd like to pray for you where you are right now, but I just want to know who I'm praying for. If you want to make a renewal of commitment, saying, Lord, I want to be there. I want to respond positively to this invitation. I have your word, but Lord, I haven't been prioritizing it in my life. My prayer life has gotten dull. I've gotten distracted. If that's you, while eyes are closed, can I just get you to put your hand up? Just to be honest and say, that's me. Hand up so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. I see the hand. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Lord, for every hand that's been raised this morning, Lord, as they've humbled their hearts to you and their hearts cry out to you and their hearts lift heavenward, you've responded with a warm embrace that, Lord, I pray today that, Lord, these precious people would make it their utmost priority to know you and to pursue you. To decide what that looks like for them. Lord, I pray your blessing upon them. We thank you that, Lord, there's renewal. That you're a God of the second chance. In your precious name. But I believe there are others here today and you've not made a commitment to follow Jesus. Or maybe you once followed him, but you've turned away completely. You don't just need a renewal. You need a total transformation, a complete new heart. As Mikey said in that statement before, religious obligations don't work. Religious duties, trying somehow to make ourselves righteous through works, it doesn't complete the task. It always leaves us far from God. Today, the invitation has been extended, friend. If you're lost, if you're far from God, but you've come today, you're searching, you know in your heart, you want Him, you know in your heart, you want to have a relationship with Him. You have the invitation, but now it's time to accept or decline. Which box will you tick? This is the moment for you today. While I'm praying, I'm just going to invite the ministry team, if you could please come and just stand in front of the altar right here. The ministry team, all those people that know who you are, just stand here and just turn and look at the precious saints. While our eyes are closed, if you're saying, Pastor, that's me, I want to accept the invitation into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's you this morning. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put up your hand because I want to pray for you. On the count of three, we can't labor this much longer. One, two, three. Please put up your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept this invitation into a relationship with God. I want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody? Thank you for that hand. Would you look at me, that one person? What I want you to do, we're going to close the service in a minute. I'd like for you to come up and talk to one of these ministers up here and tell them what God's saying to you in your heart. And they will pray with you. Amen? So please come on up. That would be wonderful. Why don't we all stand to our feet? Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we pray your blessing, Lord, upon the rest of the day. Lord, I want to declare the priestly prayer over these precious people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Lord, we thank you for every man, woman, and child in this building. We speak blessing over them now. We commit our week to you. We commit our hearts and our lives to you. Thank you for being with us here today. We honor you and we love you. In the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you to Mikey. Where are you, Mikey? Great word. Yeah. Great word. If you're walking out and you see a child, just say hi to the child. Tap them on the head and say, God loves you. The hand that went up down the back, please come on up and talk to one of our ministers here. That would be fantastic. If there's any other prayer needs, please come on up. If you need prayer for healing, anything else, then just come on up. We'd love to pray for you. Thank you. Those attending spiritual family, church family, please make your way upstairs. That'd be great. Thank you.